Good morning. Christ is risen. Amen. Welcome to Christ Central Presbyterian Church, where we have come to worship this on this Easter Sunday, the triune God in spirit and in truth. We welcome all of you here, and if you are new with us, I would ask you to, in the seat in front of you, to pull out the connection card, and please fill this out so we can keep in touch with you and get to know you. We are glad all of you are here. Let's worship together now and stand for our call to worship on this Easter Sunday from Revelation 5, 11 through 14. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. Let's sing now together from your hymnals, hymn 286. Father in heaven, this morning I pray as we worship, you would give us great assurance that Jesus' vicarious offering is accepted, that the claims of justice are satisfied, that the devil's scepter is shivered, that his wrongful throne is leveled. Give us the assurance that in Christ we died, and in him we rose. In his life we live, in his victory we triumph, in his ascension we shall be glorified. O Redeemer, you who were lifted up upon a cross, have ascended to highest heaven. You was man of sorrows, was crowned with thorns, is now as Lord of life wreathed with glory. And on the cross, no shame more deep than yours, no agony more bitter, no death more cruel. Now there is no exaltation more high, no life more glorious, no advocate more effective. You are in the triumph car and leading captive your enemies behind you. What more could be done than what has been done? Your death is our life. Your resurrection is our peace. Your ascension is our hope. And your prayers are our comfort. All praise because Jesus risen and ascended intercedes for us now and forevermore. May glory be yours in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from Isaiah 26, verses 1 through 12, and verse 19. These are the words of God. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up walls and ramparts for our security. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter. The one that remains faithful. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in God the Lord we have an everlasting rock. For he has brought low those who dwell on high, the unassailable city. He lays it low. He lays it low to the ground and casts it to the dust. The foot will trample it, the feet of the afflicted, the steps of the helpless. The way of the righteous is smooth. O upright one, make the path of the righteous level. Indeed, while following the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you eagerly. Your name, even your memory, is the desire of our souls. At night my soul longs for you. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you diligently. So when the earth experiences your judgments, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. The wicked is shown favor, he does not learn righteousness. He deals unjustly in the land of uprightness and does not perceive the majesty of the Lord. O Lord, your hand is lifted up, yet they do not see it. They see your zeal for the people and are put to shame. Indeed, fire will devour your enemies. Lord, you will establish peace for us, since you have also performed for us all your works. Your dead will live. Their corpses will rise. You who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now we enter a time of confession. Let's bow our heads together. Father in heaven, we come before you as sinners in need of forgiveness. So as we offer up our sins privately to you and then corporately, may you hear us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's confess now privately. Corporately together, most holy and merciful Father, we acknowledge and confess before thee our sinful nature, prone to evil and slothful in good, and all our shortcomings and offenses. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, who are ashamed and sorry for all we have displeased thee. Teach us to hate our sins, cleanse us from our secret faults, and forgive our sins for the sake of thy dear Son. And O most holy and loving Father, help us, we ask thee, to live in thy light and walk in thy ways, according to the commandments of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now hear our response of assurance, our assurance of pardon that reminds us that we have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. From Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Amen. Our second scripture lesson this morning is from Revelation 1, 9 through 18. Hear the words of the Lord. "I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, 'Write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea.' Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet and girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze when it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, and he placed his right hand on me, saying, 'Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of Hades.'" The word of the Lord.
Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious Easter Sunday morning. The fact that we can gather together as your church, the body of Christ, to celebrate the resurrected, glorious, reigning Lord Jesus. Father, I pray this morning that you would help us to give you your due in worship, that we would worship with reverence and awe, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, and that, Lord, you would bless your people both here and around the world as Christians celebrate this high and holy day. Father, we pray for our world, a world that is at war, a world that is in need of peace, and not superficial peace, but lasting peace, which only you can offer through the Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray especially for Ukraine this morning, that you would bring, Lord, the fighting and the aggression to an end, that you would preserve that nation and its people, and that, Lord, you would establish justice and righteousness soon. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for our president, his cabinet. We pray for Congress. We pray for state and local officials, Lord, that you would help these men and women as they seek to lead. Help them to lead with justice. Help them, Lord, to lead with equity. Father, we pray for our church and other churches where the gospel is preached, that you would bless us and that you would multiply our efforts and bring people into the kingdom. Father, we pray for special saints this morning, week after week, members of our church, we lift up Ananta and Cesar Rivera and their children, Alea and Aiden. Father, we pray that your kindness would be upon this family unit and bless their lives and all they undertake. We pray, Lord, for the Salgados, for Lewis and Loretta. We pray for Joaquin and Mateo, that, Lord, your kindness would be upon their lives and family unit as well, and that, Lord, you would bless them in the days ahead. Be with Peggy Saavedra and her son John, Lord. I pray that your kindness would be on this dear lady, that, Lord, you would bless her health and that you would strengthen her in all she undertakes. Father, we pray for those with special needs this morning. We remember the family of Tom Collin, who passed this past week. Lord, we pray that you would be with them, that you would bless them, and that, Lord, you would encourage them in these days as they mourn and yet celebrate the fact that Tom is with you now. Lord, we rejoice in this fact. We also pray for Glenda Williams, Lord, who will undergo a cancer surgery tomorrow morning. We ask, Lord, that the surgery would be successful and that you would bless Glenda with healing and that you would show her your kindness in the days and weeks ahead. We continue to pray for Blake Williams as he will have surgery on his hand in May. We pray for Nancy Birch, Lord, as she continues to recover from a foot surgery. We also remember Larry Dickey and we remember Hardy Knowlton. We pray for Marcy Edwards and Judy Smith. We pray for Becky Yu and Lenore Ball. Lord, be with all of these. We pray that you would meet their needs at the point where you define them, and that, Lord, you would give them grace for this day and the coming week. We also pray for those who are confined. We think of Mike and Allen Cauley, Ron Quick Jr., Ron Sr., and Marilyn Quick, and Lee Zambon. And Father, we remember our missionaries this morning, Don and Leah Vanderplug, Rodney and Jana Davila, Dave and Paige Honnes, and Aldo Mondin. We also pray for SIEATN and his work in South Florida and Haiti. Lord, hear our prayers, hear our petitions on behalf of the body of Christ in the world. And we pray that you would continue to help us to maintain an attitude of prayer throughout this week and all of our lives. Bless us now, Lord, as we conclude by praying that model prayer that you taught us many years ago through Jesus, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our third scripture lesson this morning is from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Hear the words of the Lord. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James, also the other women with them, were telling these things to the apostles. But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand with me as we sing hymn 297, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let's sing. Father in heaven, as we give in accordance with our means, we seek your favor this morning. May our generosity be genuine, following the example of Christ, who became poor, so that by his poverty we might become rich. Help us to give not under compulsion, but as cheerful givers, and use these tithes and offerings as you see fit. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. doxology. Please be seated. And as you take your seat, you can open your copy of the Word of God to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, as we look at some beautiful verses, verses 9 through 18, that at the outset of this book present the risen, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate at Easter. Risen Christ. In fact, this text, a good summary of it would be Easter is the risen Christ in all of his glory for our salvation. Easter is the risen Christ in all of his glory for our salvation. I want you to notice this morning this passage falls in three very easy to identify movements. We have John's situation or description of it in verses 9 through 11. And then secondly, in verses 12 through 16, we have John's vision as he turns from hearing a voice and he sees the glorified Christ. And then finally, in the last two verses of the passage is basically my text for this morning, Christ speaks and Christ acts and demonstrates the glory of himself as the risen Savior. Join me in prayer as we consider these verses this morning on this Easter Sunday morning, 2022. Heavenly Father, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart might be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, we desire to see Jesus and him only. Forgive the preacher, for his sins are many. Help every one of us to have an encounter with you through your word, by the power of your Spirit, as we consider this Easter Sunday morning. Be glorified and magnified in all that takes place in the preaching of your word, Lord. We make our prayer humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, I want you to notice John's situation in verses 9 through 11. The Apostle John begins by describing himself as a fellow partaker, a brother in Christ and a fellow partaker in the tribulation, kingdom, and perseverance which are in Jesus. At this point, Christ is glorified, and John recognizes that we as Christians are heading for an eternal kingdom. But along the way, John also points out that there is tribulation and perseverance. In other words, the Christian will suffer. And by God's grace, the Christian will persevere. There will always be suffering and the need for perseverance for those who partake of Christ and his kingdom. Now, this was common for all Christians, and it was foretold by the Lord Jesus himself in John 16:33. Jesus said, I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I love the words of James Hamilton in connection to this. Unlike the Roman Empire, which promised peace but delivered brutality and fear, the kingdom of God promises tribulation and delivers peace and confidence and eternal salvation to those who patiently endure. Thankfully, we Christians suffer not in our own strength, and we persevere not in our own strength, but by God's grace that he has shown us his kindness in electing us to salvation. And the Bible says here in John's situation, he's on the island of Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. John has been banished to this lonely island where he will spend the rest of his days because he suffered
for bearing witness to Christ, for being a disciple, but also for the Word of God. John bore testimony to Christ in his life, and he stood and preached and taught God's Word. And so he finds himself on this deserted island alone. And yet, the Lord always has a way of turning bad circumstances for his glory and our benefit, because it was on this island where John had peace and quiet in order to write the very things, some complicated things that the Lord Jesus would give to him that make up the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. He says it was the Lord's Day. That is the first day of the week. Resurrection Sunday, as we call it today. And John hears a loud voice telling him to write in a book what he sees and to send it to the seven churches of Asia Minor. These churches appear in chapter 2 and chapter 3. And so that is John's situation. But I want you to notice now his vision, secondly, in verses 12 through 16. John turns and sees seven golden lampstands, and he begins to describe the Lord Jesus as he sees him standing in the middle of the lampstands. First, in verse 13a, he says, "I saw one like the Son of Man." This is a familiar title that goes all the way back to Daniel 7:13, where the Ancient of Days is described. And several times over in that verse and passage, he is described as the Son of Man. Of course, Jesus was the eternal Son of God, but he was also, and many times called himself, the Son of Man, because there was always equality between his deity and his humanity. And the full humanity of Christ and the full deity was present, somehow mysteriously, when Christ died on the cross, when he was buried, and when he rose again. He said he has a long robe and a golden sash in verse 13b. These items, the robe and the sash, link him to the appearance of the high priest of Israel in Exodus 39, verses 2 through 4. The clothing symbolizes his ongoing work of representing his people before the Father. You know that Jesus Christ bodily is at the right hand of the Father. And he prays for you constantly. He never stops. And for all of his children. John goes on in verse 14a to say his head and his hair were white like wool. In the ancient world, and according to Proverbs 16:31, white hair symbolized respect and dignity for age and the wisdom that older folks typically have for those who are younger. And so this is a picture of the infinite wisdom of God in Christ Jesus. As Colossians makes clear, all the wisdom of God resides in the eternal Son of God. He goes on in the latter part of verse 14 to say, his eyes are like a flame of fire. This demonstrates the omniscience of Jesus Christ. He knows all and he sees all. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Nothing is unknown to him. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says, all things are open and laid bare before the eyes with him with whom we have to do. The Lord Jesus one day will right every wrong. He will correct every injustice. He will see to it that those who hid in secret and did evil will be exposed. And our lives will be exposed as well. And the truth of the matter of our allegiance and devotion to him will be known, or the lack thereof will be exposed. His eyes are like a flame of fire. And then in verse 15, it says, his feet were like burnished bronze. This is a picture of a powerful king who has so subdued his enemies that they are nothing more than the king's footstool, as Psalm 2 states. These powerful feet of Jesus point to his ultimate triumph over all the forces of evil, natural and supernatural alike. The latter part of verse 15, his voice was like the sound of many waters. Ezekiel 43, verse 2 describes the awesome voice of God. It is like any other. In verse 10, Jesus' voice was compared to a trumpet that could not be ignored. How do you ignore a trumpet when it goes off? No, it cannot be ignored. And that is the way that the voice of the Lord Jesus is. His voice is compared to the sound also of rushing waters, which also cannot be ignored. There's something about the Lord Jesus, his words, and the Word of God, sacred scripture, that cannot be ignored. We may forsake it, we may reject it, but we can't ignore it as it eats at our conscience. John goes on to say in 16a, his right hand held seven stars. We learn later on in verses 19 and 20 that these stars represent the angels of the seven churches. What a beautiful picture. The Christ church, every one of them, has an angel who is carrying out divine commerce inside of that church. It also points us to the fact that Christ sustains his church. You start to see the greatness of God here. The Bible makes it clear in Isaiah 40 that the Lord God measured out the heavens with the span of his hand. The span of his hand. And here he holds not only the churches, but also the angels in the palm of his right hand. And you'll notice at the end of verse 16, a sharp double-edged sword comes out of his mouth. The sword is a weapon of offense and points to the decisive action against those who oppose the will of the Lord Jesus. This is a colorful way to say that Jesus will speak decisive words of judgment when he returns. And then finally in verse 16c, John says his face was like the sun shining in its strength. It points to the full deity of the Lord Jesus. You know, in Matthew 17, verse 2, Jesus' face shone like the sun in his transfiguration. And the Jesus that John saw, both on the Mount of Transfiguration and on the island of Patmos, is none other than Almighty God. You can't look at the sun for a long period of time. You'll burn your eyes. And God cannot be seen because he's too holy. And yet, we have seen him, John says, in the person and work of the Lord Jesus. And so John sees this incredible sight. The Son of Man, the long robe, the golden sash, his hair like wool, his eyes like fire, his feet like bronze, his voice like the waters, his huge right hand holding up the churches, the seven angels of those churches. His face shining like light and a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. Let me point out one thing, too, just an observation. You know, in these chapters, John presents a stunning contrast between the risen, glorified Christ, and then later in chapters 2 and 3, the pitiful state, the unimpressive state of his churches. They're struggling with sin, they're struggling with difficulties. They're persecuted, they're oppressed, they're dealing with their own shortfalls. And yet the Lord Jesus is glorified. You know, a lot of people are unimpressed by Christ's church. I don't know how many people that go to church and say, well, I didn't like the music, or I didn't like this or that, or the preaching was dull, or, you know, the sermon was too long, and the air conditioning wasn't low enough. And they go on and on and on. And Christ's church often can be very unimpressive. But I remind you that the Lord Jesus is in his glorified state now. And when he was before this, he was in a humble state. Jesus Christ was not impressive in worldly standards. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the Father to the point of death, even death on a cross. Humility always comes before exaltation. And as weak as the church of Jesus Christ may appear, one day it will be cleansed. One day it won't lack volunteers anymore. One day it'll be glorified as the scaffolding falls off and she is presented in all of her glory. Christ is exalted and he's waiting to the right time to come and get his church so that she will be exalted forever. I want you to notice John falls here. He falls down. Look at verse 17. John's reaction to the vision of the exalted Christ It's similar to that of Isaiah and Ezekiel. Whenever they had visions, various visions of God, they fell down like dead men. It was a frightening sight. But then, you see the actions and the words of the risen Christ. And this is my text for this morning. All the rest is in the way of introduction. I want you to notice four specific phrases in verses 17 and 18. And these phrases demonstrate four characteristics of the risen and glorified Lord Jesus that I'd like you to remember this Easter Sunday morning. First of all, his intimacy. His intimacy. Look at verse 16. John falls down like a dead man, and Jesus places his right hand on him and says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." We see the Lord Jesus acting here. This is a beautiful picture. You know, we just read in verse 16 that the right hand of Jesus is holding the stars of heaven, the angels. But here it says the right hand, he puts it on John, and he says, "Don't be afraid." Now, some well-meaning and greatly mistaken scholars say, here's a contradiction. Oh, no. Oh, no. What John is presenting, what Jesus is demonstrating, is that the Lord God Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ, the transcendent God, became imminent, and Christ has his whole church in his hand corporately, but he reaches down to every single individual. You see the intimacy there. His compassion, his comfort after this incredible vision. And the Lord Jesus reaches down and touches his servant John and says, "Don't be afraid." That's something we heard in the Gospels over and over again. Whenever Jesus would heal somebody, whenever a father came with a daughter that was dying, "Don't be afraid." Whenever the widow at Nain, her son was being carried out, "Don't cry." Over and over again, the Lord Jesus would confront the conditions that ultimately sin brought about in death and blindness and pain and disease, and the Lord Jesus would touch. He would speak. Sometimes he would heal at a distance, but he was always concerned about the individual. Let me challenge you with those words this morning, because Jesus Christ is risen from the grave. He could say to you, in whatever situation you're in, "Don't be afraid." Are you suffering from a disease? "Don't be afraid." Are you suffering from loneliness and relational tragedy? "Don't be afraid." Are you looking at an uncertain future, perhaps without a loved one? "Don't be afraid." Are you looking at a disease that you deal with and ultimately may end your life? Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." And he puts his hand on you and all of your concerns, just like he did the Apostle John. The Lord Jesus has a close association and a deep understanding of everything in your life. And because he is risen from the grave and at the right hand of the Father, he says, "Do not fear." Whatever your situation is this morning, that's his intimacy. Notice, secondly, his deity. He goes on to say, "I am the first and the last, the living one." The first and the last means very much the same as, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," which God Almighty uses in verse 8. It's another application of divine terms for Christ. He is the living God. And he says, "I am first and I am last and the living one." That is, Christ is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no ending. And because of his resurrection, he gives eternal life to all those who put their faith and trust in him and turn from their sin. This is a declaration from Jesus that he is the Lord God Almighty. And there is no way to be pleasing to God without faith in Jesus. He made it clear in John 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And as one of the apostles said in Acts 4, there is salvation in no other name under heaven. I saw an article the other day from somebody I'm very fond of. And this person wrote in the article about a man. He quoted a man saying that all roads lead to the same place. And it breaks my heart to see that kind of attitude and thinking, because that is a lie from hell. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to the true God of the universe, and that is through faith in His Son. And to glorify the Father, to be in good with the Father, you must go through the Son. That's why He sent Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, His intimacy, His deity, then His humanity. Look at the next phrase. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. The Lord Jesus, it's true, has no ending, no beginning. He is transcendent. But this transcendent one became imminent and close to us. And He lived a perfect life for 33 years. This verse communicates that Christ lived and died and rose again. It is the heart of Easter, that Jesus is alive right now, and He is alive forevermore at the right hand of the Father. And we will rise from the grave because of Christ's resurrection. Did you notice that last verse, verse 19 in Isaiah 26 this morning? Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For your dew is as the dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. That is the great hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And the really amazing thing is that we spend a lifetime in this life dying. Not physically, dying spiritually, dying to ourselves. As John Calvin said, the heart of Christianity is self-denial. As we identify with Christ in His passion and the fellowship of His sufferings. And the more we die to ourselves, ironically, the more we come alive in Jesus Christ until the day that we die to go to be with Him, or He returns to take us to Himself. Christ's humanity is precious. And He was always human. You know, there's some heresies that teach that Jesus was the divine human Son of God, and somehow on the cross, deity left Him. No. Human explanations will always be insufficient when it comes to the mysteries of the kingdom of God and the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. No, He was always human, always divine, 100% both. And that's why He secured such a great salvation. Well, His intimacy, His deity, His humanity, finally, His authority. You'll notice at the end of verse 18, Jesus says, I have the keys of death and Hades. Jesus has the ultimate authority, the ultimate say, to save and to judge. You know, Hades is a place in the Bible for departed spirits, according to Acts 2, 27 and 31. The NIV translates as the grave. The keys symbolize Christ's authority over life and death. He has the power to send people to an eternal death, as Revelation 20 says, the lake of fire. But He also has the power to save them from that death and to give them eternal life, as Revelation 20 speaks of the book of life, where everyone who has trusted in the Lord Jesus, and not themselves, and not anyone else, but in the Lord Jesus, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In fact, the Bible makes it clear they've been written there from the beginning of time and before that, from all of eternity. So as we look at the end of this passage, the question comes, do you know the risen Lord Jesus? Is He in your heart? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Do you sense his intimacy and comfort in your life? Do you bow the knee at him concerning his deity? Do you recognize he's always available when you pray? Because he knows your struggles and difficulties. He wants to be close to you because of his humanity. And as you recognize his authority, your very next breath comes at the pleasure of Almighty God. Doesn't it make sense to acknowledge this God and his Son, Jesus Christ, so that you can live without the fear of death? And you can live without the fear of adverse circumstances in your life. In fact, whenever those things come, you can enjoy a greater degree of fellowship with Christ because of his Spirit resident inside of your heart. Is your name in the book of life? If not, I invite you to embrace Jesus Christ by faith. Ask him to come into your life, your heart. Trust him alone as he paid the penalty for your sins. And his resurrection demonstrates that death and sin no longer have a hold for the one who puts his faith or her faith in Jesus Christ alone. Why don't you do that this day? This will be the first real Easter you've ever enjoyed. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the number of passages that present the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we celebrate today with hearts of joy, knowing that our future is secure and that our lives right now can have peace, as Isaiah 26:3 says. Help us to keep our minds fixed on thee, O risen Christ. May we drink deeply of your presence. May we feast on your body spiritually. And may you sustain us in the days ahead as they get darker. Help us, Lord, to walk joyfully in the light and intimately with you as you address every concern that we have. Lord, save those who are lost. Disciple the saved. Get all the glory for what you will do, working in our hearts and lives through your word. And we make our prayer confidently in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals for our closing hymn. A wonderful Easter hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today, number 277. Let's stand as we sing all the verses. Thank you. Enjoy your Easter Sunday afternoon. See you next Sunday as we worship Christ the risen King once more. Receive now the benediction of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his face and shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, both now and forevermore, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.